We've got another workplace story for you now. Even if college students, college athletes, feel like underpaid employees or unpaid employees in a billion-dollar industry, they learned yesterday that they can't form a union to force change. On Monday, the National Labor Relations Board overturned a 2014 ruling that gave Northwestern University football players the right to unionize. The five-member board unanimously decided that college athletes are students and noted that a single school with a union would create all kinds of competitive disparities within college athletics. But, and this is a big but, the NLRB did not rule directly on whether players are university employees, so this issue may not be over by a long shot. Joining me now with more is Dave Zirin, sports editor at The Nation. Dave, I can't imagine you have any strong feelings about this at all.
I'm very upset about it more than anything because I think that the players, they worked for years on this. Other folks who've been supporting them worked for years on this. And the NLRB basically said, we have no jurisdiction over anything that you just said or did or tried to organize, and therefore we have no decision for you. And what that really does is it cripples their ability to go forward, at least to go forward through the courts. Their only recourse at this point, honestly, is to refuse to play and try to get the NCAA to the negotiating table that way.
Now, the NLRB doesn't have an appeal. That's how it works, so they can't actually appeal this. But they could, I mean, in theory, and it would be very difficult to do, you know, go around to other colleges and try to organize all those other colleges and then resubmit a different, you know, larger organization to the NLRB, right?
Well, unfortunately, though, the NLRB only oversees 17 of the 125 colleges. That's one of the reasons why they said they had to punt on it. They only oversee the private schools. All the public schools have to deal with whatever the state labor board is in their state. So there still are tons of openings for people, for football players at places like Ohio State, Alabama. I mean, anywhere that's a public college, they can go to the state board if they choose to organize themselves. The problem is that the decision by the NLRB could be used by unsympathetic state labor boards to say, well, you know, you guys are basically amateurs. You're not employees, and because you're not employees, that means you're amateurs. So it's created this kind of circular logic that keeps college football players who produce billions of dollars in revenue for these schools and support millions of dollars in salaries for coaches and assistant coaches and administrators, and not to mention media members, still on the outside looking in.
Who could address this issue and change the state of play? It sounds to me what you're saying is that the student athletes have no leverage whatsoever after this ruling.
Yeah, they have no leverage through the courts after this ruling. But the place where they still have leverage is with the NCAA themselves. If they can compel the NCAA to actually sit at the negotiating table with them, if they could compel the presidents of the schools and the deans to actually sit down with them, then they would still have leverage. If you just cut out the NLRB and the state labor boards altogether and their ability to negotiate, and the only way you could see the NCAA actually willing to do that is if players refuse to take the field. And it's interesting because the old term in labor talk for that is, of course, a wildcat strike, and that's the name of the Northwestern team.
Compelling the NCAA, that's kind of like, you know, talking to Iron Man for lunch. Right? I mean, that's not going to happen.
Yeah, well, it'll happen if the NCAA feels it in the wallet.
Well, read more about this. Dave Zirin, sports editor at The Nation, has a piece out today, The Absurd, Cowardly, and Morally Bankrupt NLRB Decision Against the Northwestern Football Union. Thanks so much, Dave.
Thank you.